Oh, you want to hear something funny? My my 13-year-old literally 5 minutes ago said to me, she says, you like candies? I'm like, yeah. She goes, can these nuts fit in your mouth?
Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
What's up, sis?
I had the most beautiful dream.
It was the perfect day. And all I could think about was how much I wanted to cut you all open and then climb inside your bodies so that we could stay one happy family.
Brian! Call the book of the dead for a reason!
I see the most in Lucas' intervention. Celebra nos amar. Amen. Kanda.
Hello and welcome back to another mommy and maggot inspired episode of Guess What You're Wrong. And tonight we are doing, well, first of all, we have Dave from the Piedmont, maybe one of these days I'll learn how to talk, the Piedmont Triad podcast. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing spectacular. Now, I did hear from a little birdie that you're fitting to go on a trip here pretty soon. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, we're running off to Japan next week. We've been paying on this trip for about 2 years now, so it's finally come to fruition. So we're real excited.
Nice. I'm excited for you. That's after you told me that, I started thinking, you know what? I want to go to Japan too. I want to go to the Godzilla store. That's the only reason why I want to go.
I know. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I hope I get to go over there because I would love to go by a Godzilla store. That's fantastic. Yeah. I had no idea that existed until you said that.
I asked my son, I said, would you want to go on vacation to Japan? You know, he's 10. He watches a lot of anime and stuff, but I thought maybe he might like it.
Yeah.
He said, nah, not really. I was like, yeah, you probably starve. Because he wouldn't, all he eats is chicken nuggets and pizza.
Right. Oh. How old is he again?
10.
Oh, yeah, that's a staple for a diet for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, 10-year-olds. We are jumping into, and we are actually covering the final installment in the Evil Dead series. Oh, Dave, it's been a trip.
I know, man. Going through all of this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Been getting to watch some stuff and do some research on some stuff. And boy, it's been fun. I love these movies, you know.
I do too.
I love this movie here. Now, I know, let's go over the cast and stuff here real quick here. Now, you know, it was directed by Lee Cronin and written by Lee Cronin. Produced by Rob Tappert and executive produced by Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi. Mm. So even though, just like Evil Dead from 2013, even though it's the second Evil Dead movie to not have Bruce Campbell in it as a star, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Bruce Campbell and, you know, the Tapper and Raimi were all there to help make sure that this was going to be something that the fans were going to like. I thought this was spectacular.
It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. I saw the preview come out, I can't remember how long it was, but it was in the preview. It really felt like it was going for an obvious, like, abuse metaphor.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if I'm picking up on that in the trailer right off the bat, this might not be very good. So I was real skeptical from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I know originally this movie was supposed to go straight to streaming, HBO Max. It was supposed to go straight there, but, you know, they decided at the last minute, I guess, to have a theatrical release. And it's a good thing that they did. Because, yeah. I mean, they made a lot of money on this movie. This movie did really, really good in the theaters. And why do you think that is? Because traditionally, horror movies have not been the highest grossing films in the movie industry or at theaters. Mm-hmm. Why do you think?
Yeah, I figure it's just that whole Blumhouse effect that people talk about, where they just give it a pretty modest budget, and the likelihood of them making money is much higher than if they were doing something with, like, more well-known actors or well-known directors. And I think that that has a lot to do with it. And the fact that you've got an established property over decades, like The Evil Dead, I think it was just that was what the fan base was looking for. I think that people got recharged after the remake. And then the show, you know, it didn't do that well, unfortunately, but I feel like this movie kind of proved that there still was a healthy appetite for this Evil Dead franchise. And so I think that had everything to do with it. It was just people were ready to watch some stuff like this again, and you have a dedicated group of people who will actually go to the theater and see it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that one of the things that I was thinking of as I was trying to look at what was going on in the theaters around that time. There was a lot of movies that were being put out that I'll say weren't of the highest standard. You know, they were pretty crappy. I mean, special effects wise, CG, all this crap. I'm not going to mention The Flash, but I think when this came out, it was kind of like like you said, it was people were ready for something like this again. And this kind of proved that that these kinds of movies can still be made and still make a good lot of money at the theater and the theatrical release. In my opinion, I mean that's what I'm guessing. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I think that it was a risk on their part.
Yeah.
To put it in the movie theater, boy, it really paid off because, man, they was one of the, it was like one of the top grossing movies last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I know, let's go over some of the cast here real quick. Mirabai Peace, who plays Teresa. I see there's some of these, a few of these first ones are only in the movie for like the first 10 minutes. You know, yeah. Richard Cross, who plays Caleb, Anna Marie Thomas, who plays Jessica. And I think that's it. That's another three stars from the beginning of the movie. Now, before we go into any other, I want to go over the beginning part of this movie here because, damn, what an opening. You know,
it's very mean.
It's, you know, it starts off tricking us. You know, you hear that and you see the camera angle of something going through the woods. and skimming the water, and you think, oh, it's the Evil Dead. But it's not. It's what do they call those things? Drones. So some guy with the, some jackball with a drone flying around.
Yeah.
And he makes a comment, or the girl makes a comment, you could have taken my head off. And he makes a comment. It would have taken it completely off. It would have just, scarred you a little bit or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I knew that, Lily Sullivan as Beth and Noah, Alyssa Sutherland as Ellie, I knew that they were the stars of the movie. So when I first saw this movie and I saw this opening, I was a little confused at first. I was like, wait a minute, why are we, okay, let's just check it out. But damn. And we have the scene where it's a callback directly to the first Evil Dead with Cheryl as she's possessed, with the cards.
Yeah.
And this one here, it's a book. What's that book she's reading? I don't remember what she's reading.
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But she's reading the book, and the girl who is going to be, I believe that's Teresa, right? Or is Teresa the one who gets her head pulled off? And this is Jessica.
I can't remember. I didn't write the character names down, so I can't remember.
I'm trying to look at their faces here, and I'm just like, I can't remember which one it was. I think Teresa's the one that gets scalped. So I'm thinking it's Jessica's the one that's possessed. And she starts reading passages from the book. It's a direct callback to Evil Dead, the first one. There are so many, callbacks to the Evil Dead. I loved it. A lot of people would say it's kind of, I've read that people have said, well, it's kind of campy and cheesy. They're using all this stuff to try and, make the movie better. I disagree.
Yeah.
I think that they know who their fan base is, right? They know that the Evil Dead lovers are going to go see this movie. They know that. And they know that there's no Bruce Campbell in this movie. So they have to appease us somehow. And I think they did a great job on this. So many direct callbacks to Evil Dead 1 and 2. Kind of maybe a slight callback to Army of Darkness. A little bit with the recording, I guess.
I would even say that eyeball scene.
Yes.
Which frankly took me out of the movie a little bit, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I would say, that's part of it. That's definitely a callback.
Yeah, the things, Ellie, the tattoos that she has on her arms are vines. Those are direct callbacks to Cheryl in the first one. And her, there's so much, I want to just, let's try and go in chronological order in this. So again, we have Gabrielle Echols, who plays Bridget, Nell Fisher, who plays Cassie, the little girl. Morgan Davies plays Danny, the idiot that finds the book. And I guess say Alyssa Sutherland. I knew her from that TV show, The Vikings. That's where I saw her from. Not bad to look at, so it was kind of nice to watch.
We watched Vikings, we called her the cat woman because her face is so angular.
She
really looks like a cat, she's got a cool vibe about her,
and she's very thin though, and she looks like she's tall as heck.
She looks like she'd tower over you.
Yeah, she does. And I know that Lee Cronin had said that they used 1,700 gallons of blood, fake blood for this movie. In that one scene with coming out of the elevator, that's a huge callback right there to The Shining. The Shining.
I even felt like that opening scene with the drone was also a bit of a callback, too.
Because of the filming. In the opening of The Shining, they do something similar with The Winding Road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good catch there. I didn't see that one. Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool because because the way it was just kind of slowly kind of going back and forth, the way The Shining did, and then the elevator. It's like, yeah, someone was definitely influenced by that movie a little bit.
And did you catch the kids go out to get pizza? You caught the name of the pizza company, the pizza place?
No.
Henrietta's Pizza Club, Pizza Parlor. Henrietta!
Someone's in my fruit cellar.
She might not be there, but she won't be forgotten. Her and her rotund glory.
yes. And you know, this is another. This is the first Evil Dead that has not had that Delta Oldsmobile Delta 88 in it. You know, the car that Raimi always puts in everything.
Yeah.
And this is the first Evil Dead that has not had that car in it.
Oh man, I don't know how I feel about that.
I think there was something, a trivia here. The chainsaw at the end that she picks up to use, mm-hmm. It's the same color. They painted it the exact same color as the Delta.
Oh, okay.
So if you look at it, I mean, the coloring is that they purposely put that in there.
The crud yellow.
Yeah. And what else is there here? That clock that they show, the grandfather clock that's ticking, that's the exact same clock from the Evil Dead 1. Not a replica.
Really?
It's the exact
actual one?
It's the actual one that they used in Evil Dead. Dude, this movie. I could go on and on and on. I know. They used so much on this. You know, I'm trying to find some other stuff. I know there's some other. This movie was all shot. Which was something that I thought was weird that they didn't do this, but this movie was shot in chronological order. I found it odd that a lot of movies actually just film pieces and then they put them together at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was odd, but hey, that's why I don't make movies.
I don't know. To me, it seems like if you were an actor and you were in a movie, it seems like it would be like whiplash going from an opening scene to the next day you're filming your Oscar speech or something. And, it just seems like it would be hard to keep that sort of a tone with it kind of jumping around like that. So, I never understood that, but I know it is unusual to film in chronological order. I just never understood why.
Yeah. And you know that... Cassie's thing that she makes, what she calls it, Staphanie. And she cuts that doll's head off and puts it on. That's a callback to the Kandarian dagger. You know, with the skull head on it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't forget the, as everybody's turning into deadites, you hear the dead by dawn, dead by dawn. Dude. I think when I was watching that in the theater, I think I was one of the only people in the theater that was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. That's awesome. I was loving it. You know, there are so many direct callbacks. We could go through, I mean, even how Alyssa Sutherland is getting, when she's in the elevator, the wires are coming out and getting her. That's supposed to be a callback to Cheryl. You know, in the vines kind of thing. But we don't see an electronic wire rape scene, but I guess that's okay. You know.
Yeah, I was kind of apprehensive when that scene was happening. I was like, "Ooh, this is modern times. This might be ugly."
But they left that out, so that was good. But you know, if we go through this movie here, you know, we already discussed the opening. Well, not really the opening sequence. Wuthering Heights was the book that she was reading, and her friend, I guess it was, starts reading off the pages to that. But it turns out that she's infected with a deadite, the deadite virus, demonic, I don't know, possessed, not infected, possessed, really, yeah. Right? So
all of the above.
Yeah, she rips this girl's head. I mean, she skins her, and it was graphic, and I mean. I loved it, dude. I was like, dude, that's awesome. And what makes it even better that this girl is not dead. She runs out of the cabin to go to the to go to her cousin's or her friend's boyfriend for help.
With,
you know, no scalp, nothing. Just, dude. And that was,
and you could like you could feel that wound. You know, it's like weird sort of wound where you feel the air on it. And you're like, oh, that sucks.
Oh, that hurts.
You know, and then she, well, what's Teresa, or is that her name? I don't remember her name. Comes down.
Oh, the first girl. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that's possessed here. Let me pull back to the cast here. Jessica. I'm sorry. Jessica. Teresa's the one that got scalped. So Jessica comes down. All possessed and everything, and she takes that that drone thing and like pow, cuts her face up, dude.
And the way she does it all slowly towards her face,
yeah, it's like, and then she hits, she goes into the water, she falls in the water like she's drowning. Her boyfriend tries to save her. Come on, I mean,
yeah,
you saw your girlfriend's best friend or cousin or whatever come down with no scalp. Your girlfriend comes down and chops herself in the face and falls in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I might not be jumping in to save her. Just saying.
Yeah, I'd be on the phone with EMS personally.
I'd be like, I ain't getting in there to get her. Somebody needs to come down here and get her because the shit that I saw her do, I ain't getting in with that.
That bitch is on drugs.
But then we have that, you know, he jumps in, he gets killed. Okay. And then we have the that one. This opening scene that was in the trailers, you know, with her floating just above the water, and then boom, Evil Dead Rise, dude. That's a great opening. Although I was confused at first, it was a great opening. You know, did that freak you out a lot?
Yeah. And what's funny is the way that I kind of forgot about the beginning until near the end when they start wrapping it back around. And then I'm like, oh, right. That's right. They had that whole intro.
Don't they go the next scenes or doesn't it say like a day before or 24 hours earlier or something like that?
Yeah. Something like a day or two. I
think. Yeah. And then we go right into, you know, our main character's storyline here, you know, with Ellie, the mom, you know, she's the mom of two kids. And the sister, the estranged sister, what's her name?
Oh,
Beth, Lily Sullivan. That's Beth, right? Yeah. So yeah, Beth Ellie calls Beth a groupie. Beth says, no, I'm a, what'd she say? I'm a guitar specialist.
Guitar tech.
That's what it is. Yeah. A guitar tech. Okay. I suppose, but you know, we get this little glimpse here that Beth is actually pregnant. We see her taking her pregnancy test. You know, she's out on the road with this band, whoever. She takes her pregnancy test. She's pregnant. So her being confused and not knowing what to do, she runs to her sister, her big sister. And there's so much. This movie wasn't really that long of a movie, was it?
Not really. I think it was maybe 90 minutes.
Yeah, an hour and 36 minutes. So, yeah, 96 minutes. So, for being that short of a movie, they fill in a lot of good backstory on these characters, the characters that we're going to care about. You know, Beth, we know that she is, whenever she's gone, she's living her life, she's kind of distant from her family because nobody's heard from her for months.
Mm-hmm.
We also find out that Beth brings gifts for everybody and brings a gift for the dad. But the dad's nowhere to be found. No, is nowhere around. The dad left. Right. So Beth is like, you know, well, you should have said something, Ellie. I would have been here. And I was like, yeah, I left you two voicemails when it happened. And then when you left, what else am I going to do? So we know that there's kind of a little rift between them there because, you know, of how when Beth gets in, she's overly involved in her activities or whatever she's doing. She got my shirt. I got a mommy's with the maggots now.
That's nice. No, I didn't even see that.
But
yeah, that's a gross line too. Yeah,
I'm telling you. Oh, you know what?
Mommy's with the maggots now.
I even got it on a look at that. So we find out a lot about this family unit and how they communicate with each other, or the lack of communication that they have. And you know, we find a lot about out about them in a short amount of time. Because the movie's only 96 minutes long. It's like when they start going to what's her name? Bridget and Cassie and Danny. You know, Danny is like this wannabe DJ, right? He's in his room, and man, that music is blaring. And they got the I love the look of this apartment too. I mean, this the inside of this apartment just looked. I'm like, I've never seen apartments like that. When, you know, this looks kind of like a nice apartment, but. The big story behind this apartment, as we forgot to mention, is that they're condemning it and then they're tearing it down. So everybody's got to move. Get out. My dogs are over here wrestling around. Oh, boy.
They have no manners.
I'm telling you. Listen, I should have put... they wouldn't have known. I was going to put a recording sign up. But they don't... This scene... With Beth coming back into to Ellie and bringing these gifts and finding out that she kind of fucked up, that, you know, she wasn't there for her sister when her sister needed her, and that her sister actually has found a way on her own to kind of overcome that, you know, without her help. I think that's kind of a sharp poke in the ribs there, you know, to Beth. She's kind of like, oh,
yeah,
damn, you know, I guess I was kind of a dumbass kind of deal, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, kind of neglectful.
Yeah, and yeah,
it was kind of nice seeing her at least sort of acknowledge that. Where yeah. You're like, oh, ooh, I may have screwed up.
Yeah, and well, and that's what I was saying here, because you see this, she realizes that, so you're like, oh, maybe she's not as bad of a person as I thought she was, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and in this short amount of time, we're learning a lot about this family interactions and this family. How it's built. But then as soon as the shit hits the fan, it hits the fan hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's why Beth asks, well, what happened to him? What's going on? I don't even remember what the dad's name was, but you know, what happened to him?
Oh, Jay.
Was it Jay?
Yeah.
And that's when Ellie's like, hey, what's her name? Bridget. Take the kids and go get some pizza. They go to Henrietta's Pizza Company. And this is where, you know, Ellie breaks down and tells her everything. Look, I called you. You didn't answer. About all this stuff goes on. And then there's a huge, as the kids are coming back with their pizzas, there's a huge earthquake. Now, I'm guessing they're supposed to be in California, because that's the huge... That's what I think, you know, California, even though it was filmed in New Zealand, but I guess it's supposed to be in California, I'm guessing, but huge earthquake, you know, I guess it kind of looks, I don't know what California looks like, to tell you the truth, so, you know, and it takes place at night and it's rainy and wet, so who knows exactly what it is, but as the kids are coming through the parking garage, one thing that we missed out earlier is that they have a clicker for the gate for their apartment, and it never works. It takes forever for it to work. Kids come back in with their pizzas. Earthquake, ground opens up. And earlier they were telling a story about, I guess this building was built on top of an old bank. And they were telling ghost stories about a ghost that would come in and steal all the change out of your pockets or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird. But... And drinking that beer, I wish I could have.
Yeah, that seems like a ghost with a mental illness. Yeah, with they're just coming for pennies and nickels.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like they have issues even in the afterlife. That just seems like a really stupid ghost.
Yeah. What are you drinking over there?
I am having what's called a tropical beer hug.
Oh, that's good stuff.
The brewery.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Oh, it's like a double IPA. Very good.
I was going to stop and get some beers on the way home today, and I forgot.
Oh, no. Well, I'll try not to rub it in too much because it's delicious.
I got moonshine all over the place here, so.
Oh, well, you're solid then.
Got a bottle of rum.
You know,
I got whiskey down here. I got all kinds of stuff. I'm pretty good. This beer is kind of nice.
Your inventory down there.
Yeah. Yeah. But so back to the movie here. The ground opens up. The brother, who is Danny, Morgan Davies, played by Morgan Davies, looks down in there. And he's like, he wants to go down in there. Check it out. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, if I wasn't old, fat, and my bones creaked every time I walked, I would go in there, too. I'd be like, hell yeah, let's check this out.
I would be, too. I'd be
like, damn. But, and then the little girl, Cassie's like, I think I peed myself.
Oh, yeah, that was pitiful.
Bridget's like, is it warm? She said, no, it's cold. You probably just spilled a pop on you, or the soda. I don't remember. They call it soda in there, I bet you. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
But as a parent, you're sitting there going, it could have been pee or soda. I've told that lie before to get out of a situation. Yep, like, all right, we got to keep moving. Don't worry about it.
And as Danny ventures down into this, it's the bank. There's some weird, you know, he goes into this room and there's like a religious icon and stuff just hanging everywhere. Crosses. Like, you know, saints medallions and stuff all over the place. That's kind of, to me, it reminded me of Evil Dead 2013. When they're in the basement of the cellar of the cabin, and they got that all kinds of stuff hanging around everywhere. That kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. It was like, very much a basement kind of a vibe to it. And the giant cross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Falling out of nowhere.
Dude. And then he finds this box of stuff. He grabs some albums and he grabs something that's wrapped in sackcloth, right? Or like canvas, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wrapped in canvas or not canvas. Like a potato bag. One of those old potato bag kind of thing.
Like a burlap.
Burlap. Kind of thing. That's the word right there. See? So smart. Forget stuff all the time.
Thank you. I will always take that. I'm never accused of that, so I'll take it where I can get it.
Let's see. I had to start taking these. I don't know. I took some medication. I think it's making me a little bit loopy.
Oh, boy.
My doctor says that it will have no adverse reactions if I drink with it as well, so we'll find out.
I mean, self-experimentation, right? Yeah.
See if I make it to work tomorrow or not.
Right.
But so he comes out with this this thing wrapped in a burlap bag and some albums. Ellie and Beth are upstairs. They're trying to figure out the elevator's out. They can't. Earthquake. We need to go down to get the kids. We got to find the kids. The neighbors are coming out. You know, they got people are like, hey, I'll take you. Just get downstairs and I'll take you to go find the kids. Cool. And they also, earlier in the movie, we actually left this out. Some of the neighbor kids had come over and they were talking to Bridget. Yeah, they were talking to Bridget about, hey, you know, we're watching Freddy, all the Freddys tonight. You know, you want to come on over and hang out? And that is another interesting callback. Did you get that?
No, I was laughing too much at the joke where he goes, even the shitty ones. And the other one's like, there are no shitty ones. Yeah, no, but I didn't catch the callback.
Well, in Evil Dead 2, when Ash goes to the shed to get his chainsaw rig made up, Freddy's claw is hanging
in the shed. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, them mentioning, hey, we're watching all the Freddy movies is the direct call of that as well. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's funny. I see, this is why it's cool watching, because you love these movies.
I do.
More than I do. And so you pick up on all this shit I never would have caught. So this is awesome. It's like I'll get to watch it again with new eyes.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm planning on watching it again this weekend. I love this movie. If you couldn't tell by now, but you know, Danny, you know, the Rhodes Scholar that he is, decides to try and play these records. Wait, does he play the records first, or does he open the book first? I think he opens the book first because he's in there messing with the book, and Bridget's like, "Don't mess with that. What is that?" And he cuts himself. And this is one of the things too. It's kind of cool. The book is kind of sealed with teeth, like fangs, like teeth. You know, that's along the side. It's like locked closed. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's like a mean ass fly trap, you know.
I wouldn't get my hand stuck in that damn thing, I tell you that.
Yeah.
But so he gets the book open because he cuts himself. Some blood drops onto the book and the book just absorbs it up. Now, I think that Bridget saw that, right? I can't remember. I think she saw that and she was kind of like, ooh. And then, yeah. And then the jaws open up. They start flipping through the book. And one big thing in this is that the Necronomicon is completely different than any other version that we've seen, right? It's different than the one from 2013. Of course, it's different from Evil Dead, the original, and 2 and Army of Darkness and all the series. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Even the pages, the things that are written in the inside are different. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
And, now, I'm wondering, I don't know if they answered this or not, but I remember they discussed in other movies there are 3 books that they specify. So I have no idea if this is like the 3rd one or the 2nd one, but I know it's a reference to one of the other ones that hasn't really been seen before. At least that was the vibe I got.
Well, I had read somewhere that they were referencing back to an Army of Darkness when Ash finds the 3. That they're not, one of them was the Necronomicon for his world that he was at there. And the other 2 were Necronomicons for other worlds. Mm-hmm. I guess is how it was supposed to be taken. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, there was something with what they call it in this one here. What do they call it in this one? Naturum Demonto. You know, so it's not called Naturum Demonto. It's called Naturum Demonto in one other movie, I think. I can't remember which one it is. Because other than that, it's called like the Sumerian Book of the Dead, you know, or something like that. They changed. There's different names. And I'm wondering if there's different names to the books, does that mean that they're different books, or are they the same book just in like a different timeline kind of deal?
Yeah, I've run that around in my head a couple of times, like
getting a headache.
It's like, are they 3 individual ones that coming together makes them sort of like super Evil Dead or what? Yeah. You know,
I'm getting a headache just thinking about it now, dude. But anyway, he opens the book, and then, like I said earlier, the Rhodes Scholar that he is, he decides to play these records. And this is where we get a little bit more background on what he found. So evidently there was an order of monks or priests, not monks, priests, that had found this book, the Book of the Dead, Naturum Demonto. What does Naturum Demonto mean? I don't know. Demon book?
I have no idea.
I bet you I can find out. Book of the Dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
That
I expected more.
So did I, honestly. Okay. So in Evil Dead 1, they call it Necronomicon Ex Mortis.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to the Sumerian Book of the Dead, and then this one is Naturum Demonto. Wow. So there are three different distinct names.
Yeah, it's just not much of a variation. It's like the Bible part 2 and another Bible. <You
know? laughs> Yeah, and then, well, then there's recordings here that Danny is playing, that we find out that this priest, they found this book and they want permission from the church to translate it. And this is when we hear it. They call it the Book of the Dead for a reason. In the background. And yes, that is Bruce Campbell's voice that we hear on that recording. So Bruce Campbell did make an appearance in one way or another on every single one.
It took me like two or three watches
to catch it.
And I think it was you that had to tell me where I needed to look, yeah. If I remember correctly.
And once you know where to look and then you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we mentioned this in one of the other podcasts about one of the movies that we had done, that Bruce Campbell is saying that he cannot confirm nor deny that that character on the record was Ash or was not Ash. So
he's a tease.
Yeah. tease. So, I mean, but that opens it up. I mean, if it was Ash on the record, that came from the 1920s, right? I think so. So that would mean that there's other time travel, which in the comic books, there's all kinds of time travel all the time. But that would mean that in the movie line, that there was other time travel besides the medieval travel, where he went to medieval England.
Yeah.
So that opens up a whole another bag of worms. If, in fact, it is Ash. But we don't know. But this is also when shit starts hitting the fan. You know, Ellie's going down to do some laundry. And this is odd, too, because they seem to be like on a 10th floor or something like that. But they got to go down to the basement to do laundry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That seems like a daytime activity, if you ask me. But
that seems like an activity. Like, I wait until the end of the week until I got a whole shit to do. And then I go down there and wash it all and then come back.
Yeah.
She's carrying one little basket, you know. But this is when the shit hits the fan because of the record. Ellie's in the elevator and gets hit. Boom. Elevator stops, shakes. Ellie's freaking out. She hears voices. You know, she's looking around. And then this is when the wire scene happens, which is directly reminiscent of the Vine scene, like we said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they mess her up. And then from here on,
that arm twist.
Oh man, yeah, the way she was up there and she was like, screaming. Oh man, my girl.
Oh yeah, that crunching noise. You're just like, oh no, yeah. I've hyperextended my arm and my fingers before, and that sucked enough. But
I was like
twisting it in a completely 360 direction. No, I'd be crying like a little bitch.
Yeah, I was squealing and then like, oh. But
there's only so tough you can be in that kind of a situation.
I'm telling you. So this is when, I mean, she makes it back to the room, to her house, her apartment. Everybody's kind of worried. She's kind of beat up, obviously, and stuff. And this is a scene where they come in there. Everybody's in their own rooms doing something. You know, Cassie's getting a bath. And, you know, everybody else. And Danny and Bridget are over there with the book and the records and stuff. But then they hear something in the kitchen. And she's just dropping eggs.
Mm-hmm.
She's frying up eggs, but Ellie's in there. She's all dead-eyed up. You know, she's all fucked up. And they're like, Mom? And she, what was the line she uses here? She loves him so much that she just wants to crawl inside of him so they can be together forever or something like that. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, I don't remember. Ooh, yeah.
That's what she says. Yeah, she says, like, I just want to crawl inside of you guys so that way we can always be together. Everyone, something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's kind of foreshadowing for the end of what. Because of what happened, mm-hmm. but what?
Yeah, but something about her just throwing eggs, shell and all, in there.
I
like that effect because as a kid, if you like when something was wrong, you could sense it. Like there's a certain sense of normalcy that is always around you at your home, And all it takes is something weird like that for you to go, isn't right. You know, it makes you nervous. And so they did that really well.
Yeah. And she, you know, there's a buddy of mine here just posted a comment, said that he thought that he'd always thought that the because it was a Necronomicon, it was also a lot of H.P. Lovecraft with linked worlds, which makes sense. Because of the H.P. Lovecraft thing, there's always a bunch of linked worlds and stuff. Like that. That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, neither, but that tracks.
You know, and I never, huge fan I am of The Evil Dead, and I love H.P. Lovecraft. I never even thought about H.P. Lovecraft has, you know, the Necronomicon. I mean, that's part of H.P. Lovecraft lore. Yeah. I never thought about putting those together and, like, seeing what makes sense. Wow.
Yeah, that whole cosmic horror angle could fit very easily with Lovecraft type stuff. Absolutely, I can see that.
Absolutely, and this is also where Ellie starts. She's like, "Don't let it get my babies! Don't let it get my babies!" And she's crawling on all fours on the ground. And is this the scene where they think she's dead, or is it the next scene? Right. No, because I think I'm forgetting the order.
The bathtub.
Yeah. Do they do that before or after they think she's dead? I think that comes after. I think, doesn't it?
I think it's after. I think they think she's dead, and that's why they put her in the bathtub.
Yeah, they think she's dead, and she's laying on the bed. And Beth is in the room. You know, they think she's dead, and Cassie and, you know, Bridget and Danny are off crying, you know, dealing with their things. And, oh, mommy, what happened to mommy? What happened to mom? And Beth is in her room feeling sorry for herself because of how she fucked up before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when her phone, that voicemail starts playing. And she turns around and we see that scene where Ellie's eyes open up and that fly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that always freaks me out, dude. That freaks me out whenever I see that in movies.
Because you're just like, the idea that you wouldn't even blink over something like that. Yeah, that let it crawl around. Oh, screw that noise.
But I think it's at this point here because they see that she's not dead. So it's at this point here where they get her into the bathtub because she's burning up. You know, she's burning up. They throw her. And it goes to, there's a picture in the Necronomicon that they flash to that shows a burning woman, you know, a woman that's like burning. And that's when they say, oh, she's burning up. They take her to the bathtub and they fill it with ice water. She's freaking out. And this scene here, holy sheep shit.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she's got Alyssa Sutherland's got these, this is why I think she's got to be tall. You know, because her feet, the way her feet and she uses them to, she grips on the stuff too with her hands and on the bathtub. She jumps up in the air and she's, dude, that was a freaky, freaky scene, in my opinion, there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it weirdly reminded me of being a kid when you would find those narrow hallways and you would kind of,
oh, yeah.
Spider up, you know?
Yeah, back when we were younger, we could do that.
What it reminded me of. She looked like she was spidering up there, except there was nothing really to hold on to, and she was.
Yeah, and this is what she says something about. She calls everybody, oh, you're a bunch of titty-sucking parasites. And I'm like, dude, she's getting down and dirty, baby. Telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the, I mean, this is, it all hits the fan here and it just starts rolling. You know, she gets, Bridget. One of the things we didn't mention earlier as well is that Ellie is a tattoo artist, you know, so she has a tattoo gun. So she gets Bridget down on the ground and she puts, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Dog found a squeak toy.
I was wondering. I was like, either that dog is really upset or he's having a good time. What
a squeak toy! Damn. No respect for recording. I'm telling you.
Yeah, man, they don't care.
But
you know, she gets, doesn't she likes, does she lick that tattoo gun or does she like stick it in blood or something like that? She starts tattooing Bridget's face. I know she did something to get some kind of ooze and blood and goo in there.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And
I don't remember. See, it was like 2 weeks ago when I watched this. Yeah. So
yeah.
Little bits are fading.
Initially, initially, we were supposed to record 2 weeks ago, but shit happened. Oh,
duh. That's right. I completely forgot. I was like, why did I watch that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. I didn't. Okay. I remember that day we were supposed to record. I'm like, damn it. I'm at work. I was in Kentucky at the University of Kentucky, yeah. And I'm just running behind. I'm like, I couldn't get done so I could leave.
Yeah.
And I text you and you're like, it's all right. I had a shitty day anyway. We could do it. We can reschedule. I was like, whew.
Yeah. I think I was pretty worn out if I remember. Yeah. It works out better this way. I'd rather have little lapses of memory 2 weeks later than being like, I don't know, man, fucking this movie. Yeah, it's good.
It is good. But then they get Ellie locked out in the hallway, right? And they lock it up. She's locked out there. And then occasionally, from a peephole viewpoint, we see her attacking the neighbors and killing the neighbors in the hallway. And that, just seeing it through that fisheye lens, that was brilliant. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, and the way it went off camera.
Yep.
And then it's like you see a little bit of chaos, and then it goes away. Yeah, that was really effective.
And then she comes back and she's sitting there and she's singing what's that song she sings? I can't remember what that song is that she's singing. Dang it.
Oh, the lullaby?
Yeah, she's singing some lullaby. I don't remember what it was now.
Yeah. It was, I assumed it was something that, you know, she sang when they were little kids and stuff like that.
Well, it's a song too. Let me see. Song that Ellie sings in. I had it as a ringtone for a while there, so I can't remember.
That's awesome. You can always gauge somebody's level of nerd by their ringtone, frankly.
Yep.
I've got Black Sabbath's The Wizard as my ringtone, so.
Mine changed. Well, right now, mine is the Godzilla theme. The instrumental Godzilla theme song.
Yeah, all right.
Is it called Daffodil? Oh, no. Singing Fairy Lullaby. Huh. I guess that's Fairy Lullaby. Yeah, it's called Fairy Lullaby. There you go. So that's what she's singing. And then this is where Cassie asks, Mom, are you okay? And this is where we get the ever great.
Mommy's with the maggots now.
Mommy's with the maggots now. So, I mean, and then we flash away from the Cassie talking to her mom through the door, and we go back over to Bridget. Bridget's not having a good time in the kitchen. Mm. She's not having a good time at all. I mean, we start seeing that, like that black line thing going through her face. You know, like so we've seen all the Evil Deads, you know, when somebody gets infected, that's going through their blood. And
yeah, just like a disease, basically.
And Beth walks in and asks her what's wrong or something like that. And she's eating a glass. She's like, my tummy didn't feel good. And she's like, something, I hate it when my tummy's got the sickies or something like that. And then she swallows a big mouthful of glass, and they show her throat and just the points. Oh, dude, it was just so graphic and so beautiful.
Yeah, that was something about that is just so upsetting because it just because everyone knows how sharp glass is.
Yeah.
And so you're just they're going, oh.
And then this is where the cheese grater scene. Holy fuck balls, that cheese grater scene. Every time I see it, I've seen the movie probably about 10 times now. And every time I see it, that cheese grater scene, I'm just like, oh, it just hurts.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
Have you ever used a cheese grater? Oh. Yeah. Have you ever used a cheese grater?
Yeah.
And if you ever accidentally gotten your knuckle wrapped across it, yeah. So imagine that whole thing right down in the back of your leg, right off your calf, dude. Oh, just shredding skin, dude.
And that would be such a pain in the ass to clean later.
You're telling me it's.
Actually, it's funny that you mentioned the cheese grater. We watched this movie over the weekend called Boy Kills World.
Yeah, how was that? That's Skarsgård, right?
It was fun. It was stupid as all hell, but it was actually kind of fun. But they have a cheese grater scene that I won't spoil for you, but it's actually a little bit worse than The Evil Dead. Really? It was about the most brutal scene in the movie, and I was like, all right, yeah, The Evil Dead sucked, but this sucked worse. So it might give you an appreciation.
I may have to, because, you know, the plan is, because last month we did the 30th anniversary of The Crow, and Brandon Lee's The Crow.
Yeah.
We did a special episode on that. And the plan is that when this new one comes out, we're going to watch that one and do that one as well. I know it's going to suck, asshole, but we're going to watch it anyway, and we're going to do an episode on it. I would love to get a good movie that Skarsgård is in after that. I like Skarsgård. I do.
I do too. I think he's a good actor. I dig him.
I feel bad that he is the one that they put to play Eric Draven in The New Crow, because I don't think it's going to go over well at all.
I hope it's good. I don't expect it to be good. It's more like I'm rooting him on.
Yeah.
I'm like, yay, good for you, bro.
That's why if this Boy Kills World is decent, we may end up covering that one after The Crow. So that way you can kind of clear his name a little bit, you know?
Right.
I'm convinced that movie's going to be a shit show big time.
I want it to be good, but I don't expect it to. It's going to suck.
Yeah. Boy, where were we at in this movie? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cheese graters.
Cheese graters. Yep. Scene. I mean, there's this whole fight scene with Bridget and Beth. I remember Stephanie. Cassie's little dagger thing that she made up for protection, you know, with the doll head on it. That's what gets Bridget. You remember that? She gets down there and it goes through her.
Yeah.
Dude, that was kind of nasty.
Yeah.
and they
that would sum up this entire movie. Damn, that was kind of nasty.
But they also make the assumption now that she's dead. Now, this is anybody that knows anything about The Evil Dead, whenever you make the assumption that the person is dead, you're wrong. You need to chop them up into itty bitty pieces. You know, and they don't do that. And of course, she comes back as well. We have Beth, Cassie, and Danny are the ones that are left. Right? Danny doesn't die.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
But they make
it. I don't think he does.
Damn it. I can't remember now. Because I seem to remember that when they're down in the parking garage, it's just Cassie and Beth.
Yeah, you're right.
I think so. I'm going to have to watch it again. I think Danny might die. He does. He does die.
What happened to him?
I don't remember how he dies, but I do remember that whenever they're making the big, when they're all fusing together at the end scene, he's in that big body fusion.
That's right. Okay.
I know he's in there.
For some reason, I was thinking he was the guy with the eyeball, but that's like one of the neighbors, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot about that, too. That scene where the eyeball pops out and goes into the neighbor's mouth. That was straight out of Evil Dead 2.
It absolutely was.
It was awesome.
It even had a splash of Army of Darkness laying on it.
It was awesome.
And that's why it threw me off, because the rest of the movie is so serious.
It is.
And then all of a sudden you're spitting an eyeball in somebody's mouth and they're choking on it. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be laughing.
That kind of sucks, but you know. Now, I think he gets killed in the hallway when they all go out to the hallway. I think that's when he gets taken and they start. And this is when, so we have Cassie and Beth are aiming for the elevator to get out, go down. And this is when we have the, the Dead by Dawn. All the little deadites in the hallway start saying, "Dead by Dawn, you're going to be dead by dawn." Dude. And like I said earlier, I was like a little fanboy at the movie theater going, "Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome." This whole trip down, this is when we get the blood scene that's reminiscent of The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the elevator drops, door opens up, blood just pours out everywhere. It's awesome. It's awesomely disgusting, yeah. Is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and what does Cassie say? She gets up, she's like, "Are we dead?" You know, they're covered in blood, and she's got blood in her eyes, and she can barely open her eyes. And are we dead?
Yeah, that's a reasonable question.
At that point, yeah, it is. But they do get out into the parking garage, and one thing that we notice that there's a wood chipper. We know that that's going to come in handy. And earlier in the movie, we forgot that Mr. Fonda down the hallway has a shotgun. It just so happens to be a double barrel shotgun. So we got the boomstick in action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beth finds the chainsaw downstairs as well. So now we got the boomstick and the chainsaw. You know, it's like, let me get a couple shots off and we'll let the chainsaw do some talking. Isn't that what Ash says? Something like that.
So, let the games begin.
Yeah. So, I mean, this big mutant, deadite. I mean, and this is also, it flashes to another page in the Necronomicon where it has this deadite looking thing with heads and arms and legs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff everywhere. What the heck was that?
Everything's just happening.
Oh, my, what the heck?
Got kids and squeaky toys.
Now I need a beer.
Right.
I'm going to have to go. You know, I'll get off here. I'm going to have to go to the store and get some beer now. Anyway, so where were we at? Okay, so this big human centipede-looking thing, Deadite, comes down into the parking garage to try and get them. And the fight ensues. You know, we have Ellie's face, and they did such a good job with that's one thing I'd like to know is how much were practical effects and how much were digital effects.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are certain scenes that are digital. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I remember thinking when I saw them, oh, that's digital. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most...
there weren't too many scenes like that where you could sort of like see the outline of the effects or anything.
I think for the most part, it carried over very well, you know, for, you know, blending in the special effects. Practical and digital, I think it blended in pretty well. And then this scene here, when they have this whole thing that they turn into, kind of, it reminds me of the Human Centipede. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's what this reminds me of, what they turn into. You know, they're all, like, inside each other. But it also harkens back to what Ellie said earlier, was that I just want to crawl inside of you and so that way we can be together forever. You know, but the fight is going on and we see Ellie's face or, you know, parts of the face, how it's all messed up. But we have the chainsaw. The chainsaw comes into the fight here. It helps Cassie and Beth out quite a bit. Saves their life, actually. The wood chipper is turned on.
Yeah.
And damn.
And here's our Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, there's deadite chunks and shit and everything just all over the place. This is what before we get into this, so Beth and Cassie seemingly say they're got the chainsaw and the shotgun. They're walking out. Right. But then we go forward to an apartment door opening that says number 5 on the apartment door. Did you notice that was apartment number 5?
No, I didn't.
It's the 5th movie in the series. They're on apartment number 5. Oh, the things I pick up.
I am impressed with your attention to detail, man. That is something else. So she comes, that's why you host this show.
I'm telling you. She comes out of apartment number 5, and she's talking on the phone. She's carrying a bag. We don't really see who it is, but we see, you know, she's like, oh, we're going to have such a good time, blah, 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 blah. We've got friends and blah, blah, blah. Going to bring some people. And then she goes down. She takes the elevator down, and she's oblivious to the stairs being all fucked up and oblivious to anything that has happened, you know, with the deadites and everything and everywhere. She goes down to the parking garage, starts getting in the car. And we see that it's the girl from the beginning of the movie. It is Jessica, the one that becomes a deadite. She's talking to Teresa on the phone, on the one that gets her head ripped off or her hair ripped off.
Yeah.
Talking to her on the phone. And she's like, oh no, you're going. Cause, Teresa was getting ready to bail. She's like, no.
Yeah.
I'll pick you. I'll be there in like 20 minutes, whatever. She hangs up on her. And then she turns around and she notices the wood chipper and the blood and guts and shit everywhere. So did she go over and touch something? Because how else was she going to get infected? Because Ellie and all them were dead, right? They're all chopped up and everything. So they're like really gone. So she had to have gotten infected somehow, you know, go over and go over there and poking around in the guts or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess in my head I'm thinking it's, you know, that whole thing, you know, where it's coming right at her. And
yeah. That's
and then because I remember they were bitching because she's like she's acting like she's sick and like they were complaining.
Yeah, complaining because
apparently she's kind of fickle.
Yeah, and Bruce's the boyfriend's he was supposed to have friends that came with him, and they didn't show up. So it was basically just her, Jessica, who was sick, Teresa, or not Bruce, was that Caleb? Caleb. Yeah, Caleb sounds like a dick name, so that's probably what it was.
Yeah, fuck Caleb.
Fuck him. Him and his damn drone. But that final scene in the movie here ties it all into a nice big bow. You know?
Weirdly makes the beginning like a cliffhanger for another one.
Yeah, absolutely it does. So I know that. All right, before we go into the speculations that I've heard around the interwebs, now I love this movie. I mean, it's hard to I haven't hid that at all. What did you think about the movie overall?
I was really impressed with it because my expectations were very low. Like I said, after I saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be like, oh, this is going to be the first one to suck. And then I see it, and it completely won me over. I was really impressed with how they really wanted to connect everything to past franchises. And now I have a better appreciation for the fact that they really did that well with all the details you gave me. But it was, I thought it was actually, I thought it was going to be ham-fisted with its message. Because I could feel a message coming from the trailer, which was honestly what put me off from it. But the subtlety of the metaphor, which to me seemed to be like a fear of parenthood and transferring mental illness to a younger generation, I thought was actually handled much better than I expected it to be. So I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. So I definitely feel like so far they haven't screwed anything up. Everything that they've done Evil Dead wise has really lived up to what you expect of it.
And this is why I love having you on, because you bring stuff in like the fear of parenthood and the mental. I never thought about that.
But, oh, really?
But now that you say that, I'm like, duh. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Wow. See? Good on you, babe. Awesome.
That's my English nerd major degree Not making any, it's not making me money, but it's coming in handy.
That's good.
I'll say that.
That's good. That's, I mean, I love this movie, and I'll watch it. It's, I got the Blu-ray and the 4K. They don't have a 4K version of this. I don't remember if they do. I don't know what I got over there on the shelf. I did just get the 30th anniversary edition of The Crow, the special 4K release.
Oh, really? Is that good?
I haven't opened the package yet. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
But
I need to look at that.
I had to get it on eBay because they were available at Walmart. Walmart had its own cover. It's a steel book. You know, Walmart had its own cover, and there was another one you could buy elsewhere that had a different cover. So I couldn't find them nowhere. When they got released, they were sold out. Boom, like that. So I had to go on eBay and find one.
Wow.
Paid double price.
Did it set you back a penny?
I paid double. I mean, they were selling for $30. I paid $60, so.
Right.
You gotta,
sounds about right.
You got to kind of figure, you know, people are going to try and make money off it anyway, so. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I'll open it up and pop it in and take a look at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me know how that is, because I do love the original Crow, even though it's dated as all hell at this point. Mm-hmm. But its vibe is really cool. So, yeah. I would love to see what kind of extras they have on there and whatnot. Yeah,
that's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah.
That's it for the Evil Dead Rise. Now, some of the other rumblings that I've heard in the interwebs here is that they're already in the process. Everybody that has been looking into it knows that they were in the process of making another Evil Dead movie. That was no huge thing to find out. But one thing that was a huge thing to find out is I think that they're actually making two. I think that they have commissioned to have two made right now. And I cannot remember the I've read the directors and everything that they have already. They got directors already assigned to them, so they're already in writing. They're already written and, you know, getting ready to go forward. So they are definitely doing more with the Evil Dead world going forward, and I think it's awesome. Now, what I would really love is for them to bring Kelly and Pablo into one of these movies.
Oh, I would too. You know, because, oh, I would love.
Oh
that.
Man, that would tie them all in. That's what they got to do.
I know that would make me so happy. I want nothing but good things for Kelly and Pablo, man.
I know, I love them.
I can't believe how much I care about them as characters.
But throughout that whole for the three series seasons, I mean, you grow to love them. I mean,
yeah,
that's the characters, you love them.
They did such a good job with that. That's what I loved about that show, was the way that they really fleshed out a lot of backstory. And it's very rare you can introduce new characters into a longstanding franchise like this and get the fans to give a shit. Because we're usually the most critical when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yes, so we are.
The fact that Kelly and Pablo are beloved, I would love nothing more than to see them show up. I pray to God they do, because that would be such a smart move.
And I know that Bruce Campbell has said that he's done playing Ash, but I would just love to see him like in a cameo. Doesn't have to be, you know, because I know he said that he's getting old now and he can't do that, those stunts and stuff anymore. I would just love to see him in a cameo, you know, like maybe they're thinking about him or something. Like, it would just be awesome to see that in a future movie, because eventually they have to tie him in together, you would think, right? They have to.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of cool if maybe they showed a flashback where he's in a different timeline and that shows him as an old man in the 20s and in that religious meeting where they're recording the records. You know, you don't even have to do anything that direct. But it would be kind of neat to see him showing up at a different place and maybe how that affected maybe the original trilogy, him doing stuff in the background, time traveling Ash, you know.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I could see a lot of fun and potential there. I know he won't ever be doing the stunts that he used to do. But yeah, just the fact that he's still making some cameo gives me hope that he will show up in future installments. He doesn't have to do much. He just has to smile and mug and everybody will be happy.
Yeah, it will. But that's it. That's the end of the Evil Dead Rise. That's the end of the Evil Dead franchise so far that we've been covered. Boy, it's been a long, long journey. But thanks, thanks for being in there with me, Dave. It's been a blast.
Oh, yeah.
It has been a blast. So as we close this one out here, Dave, where can everybody find you at there? You got any more new episodes or anything coming out here?
Yeah, I just had a new episode pop up on Piedmont Triad podcast. I talked to a local guy who runs a small little underground music club called The Den, where he's trying to keep it open for punk music lovers. Oh, nice. And he wants it to be all ages. And he's just one of these guys that really loves music and wants all people from all walks of life to be able to appreciate it. And that's what he's trying to create there. And a real nice guy. And here in the next couple of weeks, like in July, I spoke with a guy who, he actually lives around where you are, in Sanford. And he talked to me about the two blues musicians from North Carolina and South Carolina. Pink Anderson and Floyd Council, who are the names that Syd Barrett used to make the name Pink Floyd. And these two bluesmen who lived here in the Carolinas years and years ago, and he just kind of talked to me about their influence and where they're buried, and he's still in contact with their sons and whatnot. So he was really cool to talk to. So in a couple of weeks, that'll be popping up. And
that's awesome.
You like Pink Floyd? That's an interesting little bit of local history.
Check that out there. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so go check it out, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I haven't listened to that, the newest one yet, but I listened to all your podcasts because it's good to hear you.
I listened to your Crow one too, man. It was really good. I enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, I went off.
Other people nerd out.
But that's it. That's the end of this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Dave, I want to thank you again for hanging out and doing this Evil Dead franchise with me. It's been a blast. I loved it. And I'm going to continue. I'm probably going to pop in Evil Dead Rise right now as soon as we get off.
There you go. We shall see. Man, yeah. Win in Rome.
That's it. Everybody out there, thank you very much for hanging in. And sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease. Talk to you later, Dave. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time. Bed shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.